Need to get schooled on the latest in the world of college football? This is Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
Welcome into Chicago's College Tailgate right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Keeper's Heart, Irish American Whiskey, and Northwestern Athletics. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah, talking college football with you every Saturday here in the fall, starting at 9 a.m., 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Week 4 in college football, Abdallah, but before we get to today's slate, we have to look back at last week, week 3 in college football, and basically it was like blowout Saturday for the most part for most of the top 25.
Yeah, it was a kind of boring Saturday. I guess the only real close game you had Florida and South Florida. Florida winning 31-28, kind of struggling. Wake Forest struggling with Liberty, but they were probably looking ahead to Clemson this week. You know, I mean, you've got blowouts, like you said, all over the place. The team I was most impressed with, I think, Oregon, yeah, beating BYU at home. Bo Nix having himself a game, pushing the ball downfield like he hasn't been able to before, and their defense just kind of dominated. BYU scored 13 garbage points in the fourth quarter. Those didn't matter, but essentially for three quarters, you held BYU to 7 points, and Oregon's defense and their offense finally showing up and putting it together. They're probably a lot better than that team that lost to Georgia, because Georgia is just a damn juggernaut that I don't think anyone is going to mess with. Chris, Georgia is giving up,
yeah,
4 points less per game. I know it's only been three games. They're only giving up a field goal a game. That's insane.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Last Saturday, they beat South Carolina 48-7. Georgia, the number one team in the country, the returning defending champs in college football. Stenson Bennett was fantastic. And then Brock Bowers, to this point this season, he has been one of the most impressive offensive players in all of college football. Last week, 5 receptions for 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every time you're sitting on your couch watching college football on a Saturday, you're seeing Bowers just run through defensive backs. He looks like a complete stud and can't wait to see him at the next level. But right now, Georgia's offense is fantastic. And as you go through the top 25, Alabama, they blow out UL Monroe 63-7. Ohio State puts up 77 points. They went for 80 on Toledo, 77-21. Michigan rolled UConn 59-0. Clemson, a big win over Louisiana Tech, 48-20. Oklahoma, they just crushed the Cornhuskers. 49 straight points from Oklahoma last Saturday. They went 49-14. And USC, 45-17 over Fresno State. The top of the board in college football last week, they all rolled.
Two quick things about two of those teams you mentioned. First of all, Michigan. Big test today against Maryland. Michigan hasn't played anybody. They played Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Sure.
They've had an extremely soft schedule. So conference play starting today, we'll see how they can do. I think they take care of Maryland pretty handily. And also, speaking of defense, Oklahoma and Brett Venables giving up over 2 touchdowns less per game than they did last season, already making an impact just on, obviously he's had some transfers and things like that and some recruiting, but him just coming in and taking over that defense, what he was able to do at Clemson and now bringing that to Oklahoma, absolutely crazy that he's been able to turn around that defense so quick, because Oklahoma's always had the offense, always been able to put up points. Lincoln Riley was there, great offensive mind, putting up points all the time, but that defense was always suspect. And now Brett Venables coming in, turning them into a legit contender, and that, you know, speaking of Lincoln Riley, going to USC, best offense in the country right now, number one in FPI and Football Power Index. I believe they're number 2 or 3 in SP Plus, but they've been able to take care of business offensively. Very fortunate with turnovers defensively. They need to shore up that defense a little bit more, because you can't just rely on taking the ball away 3-4 times a game.
Well, and it's the same storyline woven into two separate teams, right? You mentioned Oklahoma, the improvement defensively. It is because Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, now with Lincoln Riley at at USC. It was the same style, right? So it was kind of all for nothing, looking for the turnover, blitzing a little too much. But Oklahoma now under Brent Venables, a little bit different of an approach, and you're seeing the results now. And now those same concerns that Oklahoma fans had last season and in the previous seasons defensively, now USC fans have it, even though it, to this point, has been beneficial. They have gotten a lot of turnovers, and that offense is damn impressive. Fight on.
Yeah, Caleb Williams will get into the Heisman watch later on, but he's shot up the Heisman watch board.
All right. How about that? You get a real coach in there. Clay Helton kick rocks, and now you're moving and shaking.
Let's see how you do tonight against Oregon
State. It's actually going to be a very tough test tonight because the Beavers are tough.
They are.
Jonathan Smith has been a very good coach in Corvallis with the Beavers, and that team 3-0. Usually they're not starting the season this well, and I think the last time they went 4-0 was like 1992 or something like that. So Oregon State has not been this good, and they're going to be a tough test for USC on the road tonight. As we kind of shift our thoughts from last week in week three, I do want to say that that Oregon game was very impressive. Bo Nix was very good against BYU. I thought BYU was the one non-Power 5 conference team that we were going to see really make a move this season, maybe challenge for the college football playoff at the end of the year. But on the road at Oregon, and the Ducks were just able to eat up BYU in the first half, and Bo Nix was really impressive in that first half of action.
Yeah, the knock on him is that he hasn't been able to push the ball down the field, you know, averaging, you know, 4 yards a play, that kind of thing, you know, or 4 yards a throw, not being really able to take the deep ball. And he had one of his best games, I feel like, throwing the deep ball, and had a lot of opportunities to get for his wide receivers to get behind that BYU secondary. He was 13 of 18 for 222 yards, averaging 12.3 yards per play, two touchdowns, and then he ran in for three touchdowns on his own. That's a great game for them. And I feel like Oregon, like I said, we were harsh on them after the Georgia game. But Georgia's just a different animal. Oregon's a good football team, new coaching staff. You've got Bo Nix coming in. They can be decent. They want to play that, like, smash-mouth brand of football. But if you've got a guy that can throw it around the way Bo Nix can, where you can take advantage of a bad defense, like BYU was playing horrible defense, then I don't see why you can't be a finesse team as well being tough on defense and constantly running the football. I mean, they did have 212 yards on the ground, so they did run the ball effectively. You can have a little bit of both. There's nothing wrong with that.
Last week on Saturday, Arkansas was in the upset alert when they headed into the fourth quarter against Missouri State, but they put up 21 points in the fourth. Arkansas, the 10th ranked team in the country in the SEC, they're 3-0. They win 38-27. They stay alive. They got a big test today because we also saw Texas A&M last weekend. They beat Miami 17-9. This defense for the Aggies is very good, but offensively, they really struggle to move the football.
They can't score. They have the ninth best, their ninth overall in SP Plus. They're 47th on offense, but they have the second best defense besides Georgia. They're only giving up 8.7 points per game, but they can't score. They bring in the new quarterback in Max Johnson. He starts last week. He goes only for 140 yards and one touchdown. If he's going to have opportunities, it's going to be today. Because the passing defense of Arkansas is the worst in college football. Absolutely the worst. They give up over 390 yards per game through the air. So if you're going to have success, it's going to be today. Because I was told this is the best recruiting class of all time. Right, Jimbo? This is the best recruiting class of all time that you paid for. But I will say, if they're going to have success, it's going to be today.
How can you say that they paid for as a shot? NIL exists.
I know NIL exists now.
You can pay for any recruit at any school.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean
How's that a shot at Texas A&M?
You can still be under the board, though. It doesn't have to all be above the board. You acting like there's not bagmen still?
Right.
Come on.
Of course they are.
There's still bagmen.
They're just a part of the team now.
People got to work.
I do want to mention, as we look back to week three in college football, how about it's not an upset alert, Michigan State going west, getting pulverized by Washington 39-28. The Sparty heads west, and they looked terrible in the first half. Michael Penix Jr. transfers from Indiana to Washington, and he was outstanding. He went 24 for 40 for 397 yards and four touchdowns. We see Penix Jr. popping up on some Heisman watch lists this week after the great home game against Sparty.
Yeah, when you go 24-40 and put up four touchdowns and just under 400 yards, that's going to happen against a Michigan State that's supposed to have a decent defense. But you gave up 400 yards through the air, 100 yards on the ground, and you just couldn't. There was some scoring. Michigan scored. I think it was a lot of garbage time, right? A lot of 14 points in the fourth quarter to try to come back and rally in that game. But it was really the first half for Washington putting up 29 points. At halftime, it was 29-8 for Washington. So it was more Michigan trying to come back against a decent Washington team that's now 3-0. Heading into this weekend.
As we now shift gears and we look forward to week four kicking off in a couple hours at 11 a.m. here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. It's Black and Abdal with Chicago's College Tailgate. Week four, we have three separate top 25 matchups this week, and should be some really good football as we kick off with ABC at 11 o'clock. Clemson, the number five team in the country, going on the road to face off against Wake Forest. They're 21st in the AP Top 25. And Wake Forest last year, one of the darlings in college football, one of the best seasons they've had in a very long time. Clemson on the road. This is going to be a tough test for the Tigers.
Not only is this going to be a tough test, but they've got NC State next week, which is a revenge game for them because they lost to NC State last year. You know, Sam Hartman, the quarterback for Wake Forest, he's only played in two games. He missed the first game this year. He's got seven touchdowns and two interceptions. They have the ninth best offense, according to SP Plus. And Clemson, yeah, okay, they're undefeated, but it hasn't looked great. You know what I mean? Like, they pull away from teams late, but they've kind of struggled early with teams so far this season. You know, they had that game against Georgia Tech. They pulled away late, 41-10. They beat Furman 35-12. And then you beat Louisiana Tech 48-20. I understand they're all wins, but if you're Clemson and you're Dabo Swinney and you're supposed to be a college football playoff contender, you don't allow 20 points to Louisiana Tech. You don't allow Furman to score 12 points. Like, it's not, I'm not like saying that they're not going to be good and then eventually it'll come around. It's still early in the football season. But you're not, it just doesn't feel like it's all clicking for them. And it might be the loss of, you know, assistants that Dabo's had to go through, obviously losing Brett Venables, losing their offensive coordinator. I don't think DJ Uiagalelei is a great quarterback. I think he's more of just like a game manager who he throws like a lot of interceptable footballs, but he doesn't take a lot of risks because of that. And their offense just hasn't really been able to have like this flow. They did score 48 points, but again, Louisiana Tech, you should be able to, we should be talking about the blowouts. We should have come out and been like, oh, blowout city. Alabama did this. Ohio State put up 80. Michigan did this. Clemson did this. We aren't because they just haven't looked right.
2:30 on CBS. Florida on the road at Rocky Top. Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, Tennessee. Tennessee, the 11th ranked team in the country. This is going to be a great matchup, a rivalry game. Florida and Tennessee at 2:30.
Yeah, Tennessee has a chance to prove themselves as one of the best teams, maybe the second or third best team in the SEC. We were at this game.
Yeah.
In 2018, Florida
beat.
It was
a beatdown.
It was a great atmosphere, but Florida beat Tennessee 47-21.
It was a great atmosphere for like a quarter and a half, and then Florida was up by like 30 points.
Yeah.
And sad sack Tennessee fans were just leaving the upper tank.
Yeah.
They were just over it.
And Florida's won five of these in a row ever since we were there in 2018. So I have a feeling that Tennessee is going to win this game. Florida had that big win in the beginning of the season against Utah, and then it's just kind of been flat from there. Anthony Richardson hasn't had a touchdown since week one. Like, that's not right for him. He should be scoring a ton. He had three touchdowns on the ground. He had one through the air, and then nothing for him after that. So I think Tennessee is going to be able to put away Florida at home.
The final top 25 matchup of that we have here on this Saturday for college football in week four, Arkansas, the 10th ranked team in the country, on the road to face off against Texas A&M. We kind of mentioned this game earlier. This game will be at 6 o'clock on ESPN.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a tale of can Texas A&M's offense get going. They're averaging 1.7 points per drive. That's 105th in college football, and that is not going to get it done. This is going to be if their offense can't get going, this might be an old school SEC football game. You might see like a 6-3 in this game.
Ooh.
6-3.
Spicy.
Well, listen, Texas A&M's
field goals
not,
only from Abdallah.
Texas A&M's not giving up a lot of points.
No.
They have the second best defense in the country.
Yeah, but Arkansas is pretty good offensively.
Arkansas is good offensively. They are.
It could either go one way. It could go that way, or it could go oppo, where Texas A&M finally starts scoring and the Razorbacks can't stop anyone and we get something in like the low 40s.
Back and forth. I trust the better quarterback. I trust KJ Jefferson, who's had 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 3 rushing touchdowns. I trust him a little bit more.
And that's the neutral site location of AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas.
Neutral site.
For the Arkansas-Texas A&M game. It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. We take a look at the Big Ten schedule for today coming up next.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back to Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Keeper's Heart, Irish American Whiskey. It's Black and Abdallah talking college football with you from 9 to 11. Each Saturday morning here in the fall. Abdallah, how about this? The Big Ten got things started on Thursday night. Illinois with a big victory, 31-0 over Chattanooga. All right, Illinois, you're starting off the season pretty well. You're 3-1. That's pretty good for Brett Bielema.
I mean, listen, it's Chattanooga. That's...
Well, it's a win.
It's a shutout win. It's a shutout win.
How often do we talk about Illini football 21 minutes into Chicago's College Tailgate?
Only when it was a few years ago when they were Abdallah's Big Ten team and I took the over and they beat Wisconsin. And it was a great year for Illinois football. Speaking of Wisconsin, they have them next week, followed by Iowa. They can be, I'll tell you this, they'll beat Iowa.
Really?
I mean, why not?
You're calling it now.
Why not?
Wow.
Why not?
Iowa fans are going to wake up on this Saturday morning and they're going to get ready for some field goals and a bunch of punting, but they're not going to be happy with Adam Abdallah.
That's fine. I mean, can Iowa score? They have the worst offense in a century.
Well, you know, we're going to get to the Big Ten slate today, but the Hawkeyes on the road at Rutgers, usually you would not say upset alert, but the fans at Rutgers... A sold-out stadium for tonight's game. This is big time.
Why?
This is big time on FS1 at 6 o'clock. The Hawkeyes and Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights.
Iowa's an 8-point favorite. Can they score 8 points?
That's a great question.
I want to take the under in this game just to feel something, because it's 34, and I feel like that'll be a great sweat tonight.
You know, it would all be it would be fine if this wasn't new for Iowa. I mean, like, each and every year, you can't do anything offensively. You can't find a quarterback. You have all these tight ends and fullbacks that are out there blocking for nobody. Like, I never understand what they're doing. And, yeah, like, Ferentz, like, okay, when's your son going to be told to kick rocks and you're actually going to go find a real offensive coordinator?
Can you fire your son? Do you ground him? What do you do?
I don't know.
What do you do?
But upset alert already here at 9:22 in the morning for the Hawkeyes as they travel to the East Coast for a sold-out game against Rutgers. How about that one? Are you going to keep your eyes on Iowa-Rutgers later on this evening?
I'll have a small, maybe the fourth eye. The fourth eye will be on.
They're bullying them. So Abdallah loves to bully Iowa so much, and it breaks my heart.
Jake Cantu, here to support Iowa. What are you doing, Jake?
I just feel bad.
This show is here to call college football out for what they are.
Yeah.
And when you suck offensively, we mention it here on the program.
We report.
I call out bullying.
You decide.
This is bullying.
Get it. You know what bullying is if it's not warranted.
Yes.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Me saying Illinois hasn't beaten anybody, that's bullying.
Yeah, right. I mean, let the Illini have their victory over Chattanooga. I mean,
they lost.
Just feel bad. That's it. I just feel bad.
Don't stick up for, just because we have a couple of Twitchers who are big-time Iowa fans, Jake, do not stick
they're
up for
They're not
guys.
In there.
And I don't see them in the Twitch chat this morning. So
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago, brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank.
Black and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Let's take a look at this Big Ten slate today. Wisconsin and Ohio State is the marquee matchup in the Big Ten. ABC 6:30 tonight. Wisconsin's 2-1. Ohio State is 3-0. And like we were talking about with last week, Ohio State tried to run it to 80 last week in their contest. CJ Stroud looking good to this point this season.
He is. And Jackson Smith and Jigba was going to play in this game. He did get a little bit of run in the last game. But I look at the Notre Dame game, Chris, for Ohio State. They struggle when you punch them in the mouth. And that is exactly what Notre Dame did. That was a close game. And Michael Penix, Jackson Smith and Jigba was out for some of that game, for a lot of that game. He was injured. He's tried to come back in. He was out. So if Wisconsin can play the kind of defense that Notre Dame was playing in week one, I think they can hang around with Ohio State. Ohio State's a 19-point favorite. I think that if you can play that tough Wisconsin type of, I don't know if Wisconsin is going to be able to score, but if you play that tough Wisconsin style of defense, you can make this a game against Ohio State. It is in Ohio State. It is on the road for Wisconsin. But if you can just kind of, you know, don't let the lights get too bright, set the edge.
Set the edge.
Get to CJ Stroud. Well, that's the problem. They run all over the place. Like, these dudes are flying. Flying. So you have to be able, like, if you can control some of these guys, if you can control Allen, if you can control any of these dudes,
set the edge,
then you'll be fine. Wisconsin's good defensively. They're decent defensively.
I love that. I think they should.
They should be able to.
Is Graham Mertz finally the quarterback Badger fans have been hoping for years? The highest-rated recruit to come into Madison. Now he needs to show something, right? That Buckeye defense is good, but can the Badgers put some points up today?
I don't know. I haven't seen them put up points so far this season. They haven't put up a lot. You know what I mean? Like, against, they haven't, and but they also haven't faced. They lose to Washington State 17-14. They beat New Mexico State 66-7. But everybody beats New Mexico State like that. And then Illinois State 38-0. Their only big test has been against Washington State, and they only put up 14 points. They struggled offensively. So I can't say that they'll be able to, just because the times I've seen them light it up has been against subpar competition.
It does seem that Travion Henderson is expected to play. Ryan Day said during the week that the injury from last week was a short-term thing. So he's expected to play this week for the Buckeyes, number 3 at home, hosting Wisconsin in this matchup. ABC 6:30 tonight. Ohio State and Wisconsin. Michigan faces off against Maryland. That game will be at 11 a.m. on Fox. And Michigan, to this point this season, they have been really impressive to me. And I think J.J. McCarthy has been really good. You know, like, here's the thing, is this weird quarterback situation coming into the first couple of weeks where Jim Harbaugh didn't really name a starter, and then he gave certain games to the two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a way to allow J.J. McCarthy to become the number one guy, because this offense has looked so different and so much more explosive with McCarthy at quarterback here in the first 3 weeks.
I think it was a convoluted way to get Cade McNamara to not transfer, because you give him a shot, then you see J.J. McCarthy, and then you're like, okay, well, now you can't transfer because we're already a game in or two games in or whatever. I mean, he could if he wanted to. You can leave the program if you want to, but it's much harder to try to find a team now than it is, you know, at the beginning of the season, or if they would have just named J.J. McCarthy. They have the 13th ranked offense, according to Football Power Index, the 3rd ranked defense. Michigan is playing some defense. They haven't really lost a step from last year when they lost a couple, obviously, big names, Aiden Hutchinson going to the NFL. But this is also a team, Chris, where I question their resume so far heading into conference play. You beat Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn. That's why Jim Harbaugh was afforded the opportunity to start Cade McNamara in game one, to start J.J. McCarthy in game two, and then decide, all right, fine, let's go to J.J. McCarthy. I'm much more confident in their defense than I am with what I've seen on offense so far, because, yeah, cool, all right, you beat up on a bunch of scrubs. Now you play Maryland, they'll beat up on Iowa and Indiana. Then they've got Penn State, Michigan State, and then Ohio State at the end of the season. But I want to see them against Big Ten competition. I think they win this game pretty easily still. It's still Maryland. I'm not a big fan of Tua Tagovailoa. He's obviously not as good as Tua is. He turns the ball over a ton in that Maryland offense. So to me, this is going to be their first. I think they win this comfortably, very comfortably. But I think that Michigan, we need to see them play some real competition.
You know, watching the game last week against UConn with J.J. McCarthy, he's from LaGrange. He went to Nazareth. He's a sophomore, right? He's, what, 19 years old? Mm-hmm. He does have a chance and an opportunity in the next two seasons to be one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. And that's a pretty cool thing to see a kid that played high school football who's from the state of Illinois, from around the Chicagoland area, to become one of those quarterbacks, because what he's shown to this point, he is an explosive quarterback for the Wolverines.
Well, and what's always been the knock on Harbaugh at Michigan? Can't get the quarterback.
Can't find the quarterback.
Can't get the quarterback. Can't develop the quarterback. They think they have the quarterback. Can never develop that quarterback. Now, finally, J.J. McCarthy might be that guy for Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I would also say in the years that you and I were producing the Chicago's high school game night show that we used to have on Friday nights here on the station, mm-hmm. like the one thing that's like a knock on Illinois high school football compared to other parts of the country, Florida, Texas, Ohio, California, is quarterback play.
Yeah.
Like when you go to these high schools and you watch Friday Night Lights and you watch these games, you're different parts of the state and you're seeing this, it's just different than watching teams from California, Texas, Georgia, Florida, and Ohio. When you see those teams on TV, on ESPN, they're throwing the football like they do in college football, right? Mm-hmm. But in high school here in the state of Illinois, you don't see it as much. You saw it with J.J. McCarthy, and it's cool that you're seeing now that translate to the next level, because you don't usually see quarterbacks from this state get to that point where they're quarterbacking a top five team in the nation. Yeah. You know, like, it's not something we usually see.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's shot up the Heisman odds as well. You know, he's put up a lot of numbers so far this season in his two games starting. He did get some run in that first game towards the end. So he has been able to find success when he's out there. I just got to see it against a little tougher competition before I anoint him the Michigan quarterback, like the next guy. He's one of the best quarterbacks in college football.
Dare I say, in the Big Ten today, Minnesota at Michigan State might be the best game, and Minnesota might be the best team in the Big Ten West? They start the season 3-0. They're rolling offensively.
I don't think that's a shocking thing to say. I think Michigan State's obviously going to be upset by that loss to Washington State last week. But then Minnesota, they're 3-0. They've been able to come in. I think you're right by saying that, because I think this is going to be the closest game and maybe the best game besides Iowa Rutgers, if you're a masochist like that. But I think that Minnesota, they've proven to this point that they've been able to beat teams, and I think Michigan State on the road for them is going to be a big test.
That's a 2:30 contest on the Big Ten Network, and then Miami of Ohio on the road at Northwestern, 6:30 tonight on the Big Ten Network. The Wildcats, 1-2 on the season. They host Miami.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? Don't lose. Don't. What are you doing, Northwestern?
Don't lose.
Yeah, what are you doing, Northwestern?
Not so fast.
You're telling them not to lose.
What are you beat Nebraska. Everyone beats Nebraska. You lose to Duke and Southern. What are you? I mean, shout out to the Salukis. Maybe they're Chicago's Big Ten team now.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, what are we doing here?
And we're proudly presented by Northwestern Athletics
here. Yeah, get
up for a game. Blocking them down on
I'm trying to talk them up. Listen, Sylvie talked up Southern Illinois.
You're giving them the lead course.
Not so fast.
I'm giving them the pep talk. Don't lose to Miami of Ohio.
All right.
Come on.
Hopefully they get the message as we take a look at the Big Ten schedule today in college football.
Don't look ahead to Penn State next week.
Coming up next here on Chicago's College Tailgate, we kind of called it with Herm Edwards at ASU. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's College Tailgate Show
with Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2, Chicago's home for sports.
Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. talking college football with you every Saturday here in the fall, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Abdal, we were just discussing this in the commercial break. This is the fifth season of Chicago's College Tailgate, doing this show here on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoons. The first two seasons, we were here with Jonathan Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is now the third season of just Black and Abdallah here hosting the show. But the reason we were discussing this is a major story in college football this week that we were talking about, that we were kind of discussing, was Herm Edwards was fired after the game on Saturday at ASU, Arizona State. No longer is the coach there. He has dealt with scandal. He's dealt with recruits jumping ship, running off of the Titanic like they're rats.
Mm-hmm.
Head coach or
assistants.
Assistant coaches not only leaving, but there are stories that were circulating this week that assistant coaches were leaking game plan information to other teams. So hopefully the Sun Devils would lose football games to get Herm Edwards.
Can you imagine?
Out of there. Now, if we go back, the reason we were discussing how long we've hosted this show, our very first season of CCT was Herm Edwards' first season at Arizona State. And the way this kind of went down, the athletic director at ASU is not only Herm Edwards' best friend, also his agent, who took the gig as ASU's athletic director.
Yeah.
So when ASU turned directions, and they, I think they went from Todd Graham, who's had his own issues when he was let go of Hawaii right before the season started, and his own scandal that was taking place on the islands. He leaves ASU and they need a new head coach, and they go and grab Herm Edwards off of the TV set, which he's very good at.
Oh, yeah.
Herm Edwards is great on TV. And so in 2018, Herm Edwards is hired by Arizona State to come coach up them kids, right?
Yep.
Because the carnival barking guy on TV is going to come in. The old ball coach is going to come in and show these Gen Zers the way it used to be when you get on the grass and the way the old coaching styles take place.
That's a violation.
What's a violation? Get on the grass?
Yeah. He literally had practice violations.
Well, and so at the time, if you've listened to Black and Abdallah in this space on Chicago's College Tailgate for the last 5 years, you know that when he was hired at ASU, I said, this is a bad hire and this won't work.
Yeah.
It's something we talked about on the show in 2018. This isn't going to fit. He has been working in TV for way too long.
Mm-hmm.
He is not connected to today's college game, today's college athlete. And since 2018, you know, in his first season, they go 7-6. 2019, they go 8-5. The shortened 2020 season, they go 2-2. 2021, they go 8-5. And things have really never taken off. Transfers all over the board. Jalen Daniels leaves. He's now the quarterback at Louisiana State.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just
can you imagine leaving
issues.
Arizona State for Louisiana State?
Well, LSU's a pretty good program, so that is a jump up in play. But,
yeah.
But if
yeah.
you're talking about the sights, I would imagine you'd like to stay out there
that's what I'm
in
talking
the
about.
Desert.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leaving Arizona State, which like, you know, being younger and watching college football, it was like, oh, okay, Arizona State's different.
I didn't know that existed.
Like, the atmosphere was always nuts. And I always thought
wasn't I told about this when I was in high school?
I thought he'd be bad, too, as a coach. But I did know this, Chris. If Herm Edwards was going to do one thing, he was going to turn boys into men.
Yeah, and that was his big thing.
He's going to turn boys into
men. He was going to teach the boys how to become men.
And that's fine. And that's what you do as a coach. Like, you're a mentor to some of these kids, and like you guide them through this process of becoming a superstar athlete and getting to the NFL, hopefully, and you know, becoming, you know, obviously you're in college, you're going from being a 17, 18-year-old kid until you're 21, 22 years old. So yeah, you are becoming a man at that point, but that was his big thing. He was just being like this rah-rah type of coach, and he just couldn't get it done. Great on TV, probably will get another TV gig. He'll be great at it again. He's awesome at that. But
he'll be sitting next to Greeny in no time on Get Up, because
course.
Like that's where
of course.
He was great. He was very good at
it. As far as, and sure, can you go into a kid's living room and be Herm Edwards and be the personality and say, look what I've accomplished and look who I am and come play for me. And I'm sure that played really well. But once you get to the practices and the game installations and the prep for everything and all, and game day and coaching decisions during the game, not great. And that was the problem. You can convince kids to come to your school because of your name, and that's it. But once you get into the game day prep, you've lost a step, a few steps.
Yeah, it was Pete Thamel on Sunday morning breaking the story that Herm Edwards, his tenure at Arizona State is over. There was video circulating on Sunday and Monday that there was a discussion in the end zone after the terrible loss on Saturday night, an embarrassing 30-21 home loss to Eastern Michigan, that people are suggesting that that's when Herm found out from the AD that and the chancellor of the university that he was being fired.
There's no chance. There's no chance they fired him in the end zone.
Well, you know, you saw in the end zone, you saw the coach grab of the elbow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? When coaches get together and they don't really like each other and they go to shake hands,
yeah.
If one coach wants to say something, as they shake hands, they use their other arm, the left hand, to grab the back of the elbow to keep the handshake connected so you can't pull away. Have you ever seen this move from coaches?
Yeah.
So keep your when you're watching college basketball or college football or any situation where people are forced to shake hands, if someone wants to say something to the other person, what they do is when they go to shake hands and you see the pull away, if the left comes in and grabs the back of the elbow to keep it locked.
Yeah. Well, here's what I imagine happened,
there
right?
was one of those going on between the AD and Herm.
Here's what I imagine. AD, Herm, they meet in the end zone. Hey, Herm, go finish your post-game stuff, address the team. Whatever you need to do.
We'll have a talk.
Up to my office.
We'll have a
talk.
And
he probably had to be like, what does that mean? No. Just we'll talk about it in my office. And he's grabbing on the back of the elbow. Well, what do you want to talk about? No. Just come up to my office. We'll go deal with the kids. Come back up to my office afterwards.
So Arizona State, they announced Herm Edwards fired over the weekend last week. They are now saying, and Herm Edwards at his time at ASU this year, he's 1-2. He went 26-20. He only had the one bowl win in 5 years. A lot of scandal around NCAA violations based on different situations. He also had 5 full-time coaches that left the staff, both coordinators in the last season. And then his roster, the program's best quarterback, he transferred. Their best running back transferred. A defensive lineman, a linebacker, 2 top wide receivers all transferred within the last year because they wanted to get away from Herm and this program. So ASU not in good shape. Now moving forward, though, on ESPN.com, they do have an article discussing from Adam Rittenberg who could possibly replace Herm as the head coach for next season. And there are some early rumors and I'm not saying that Rittenberg wrote this in his column, but there are always, with any school that becomes open for a job, the Urban Meyer rumors, because a lot of people are suggesting that ASU, the recruiting, the fact that USC is leaving the Pac-12, ASU could be a sleeping giant in college football.
I mean, it's a decent job. If when USC leaves, it's probably... Oregon's probably a better job.
Oregon's one, and then it's probably ASU, Washington, and Utah to kind of battle out who's the second fiddle on any given year, right?
And ASU used to have such a great atmosphere. Hey, you play ASU at night, that late night creep, that 9:30 start.
With
you
a Matt like, Barkley.
Oh my God.
No, they were terrible. And Lane Kiffin, they just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, but that was like, that's a place you want. Like, if you're a kid, you're watching that, and you're like, I want to go to school there. That looks fun.
Yeah. So Adam Rittenberg suggests maybe Tom Herman, that he might be a possible name. Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator for USC right now, maybe that's a name.
Could you take Bill O'Brien off my hands?
You know, I don't see that name
Could
here on the list.
Could you take Bill O'Brien off my
hands? I think he's enjoying his time.
Could you get Todd Monken out of the SEC, please? Get Todd Monken out of the SEC.
I think he'll like to stay in the SEC.
I started this with Tyler last week, and I'm like, every time there's a job opening now, I'm going to start the Todd Monken narrative. So he leaves.
Just to get him out.
Just get him out of Georgia. I'm sick of this offense.
One of the names that Rittenberg has on his list on ESPN.com isn't coaching a team right now, and he is a great head coach. What about the special assistant to Steve Sarkisian at Texas? Gary Patterson.
Dude, Gary Patterson,
he was very good at TCU.
Well, he was very good at TCU, and they brought him in, and he worked on the game against Alabama for 3 months.
Yeah, right.
That's not an exaggeration. That was on the broadcast that was written about. He worked on the game plan for Alabama specifically for 3 months.
He's one of the best coaches that didn't get to the very top level in college football.
Absolutely.
Who currently isn't coaching at the moment.
That's a good name.
So some names to keep your eyes on with Arizona State. So, long story short, Herm's out. I don't think it was a good fit from the start.
No.
And I never thought he was going to be able to relate to the Gen Zers who are coming into college football or be able to. And like I think also the disappointing thing is like Herm's program was a mess the entire time. It wasn't a clean program, and they've been within scandal from the start. Black and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. We have the playoff predictor coming up next.
Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Immerse yourself in the world of college football.
Now, back to more.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Black and Abdallah. From 9 to 11 each Saturday here in the fall, we'll take a look at the playoff predictor, Abdallah. And this is on ESPN.com. Each week they update the standings, who will get into the college football playoff. And so far, here we go. Number one, Georgia at 3-0, have a 80% chance to get into the college football playoff. We all assume they're the best team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Alabama at 76% with their chance. And the way the playoff predictor works out is it's assuming that there could be losses in the future teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking into account that Georgia and Alabama will meet in the SEC championship game, I would assume. And both of them 1-2 in the playoff predictor. Ohio State at 67% and number three. Number four, the all-important number four spot for the playoff predictor. Clemson at 3-0 with a 36% chance to get into the playoff.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Ohio State is that low because Michigan is going to be very good when they play them at the end of the season. You could have two undefeated teams going into that rivalry game at the end of the season. And I think Clemson, you know, if they get past two ranked teams this week in Wake Forest this week, NC State next week, they have a legit shot at making it too. They could go undefeated. If they get past these next 2 weeks, they could go into the end of the season undefeated.
And now we get to the group of the others, because number four through seven is kind of where we look at this situation with the playoff predictor. Number five, the first team out, you mentioned them, the Michigan Wolverines at 3-0 with a 31% chance to make the college football playoff. Number six, USC, 3-0, a 20% chance to make the college football playoff. Number seven, Oklahoma, 18% chance to get into the playoff at 3-0. And number eight, how about this? A bit of a surprise. A team that is ranked 22nd in the AP Top 25. Texas is eighth in the playoff predictor, sitting at 2-1 with a 16% chance to get in. I would assume it's because right now their only loss is against the second best team in the country, Alabama.
Yeah, because I think, look, if you, and I don't know if the computer takes into the fact that what the playoff committee will talk about, right? Because let's say Texas goes undefeated, right?
Sure.
They beat number six ranked Oklahoma, which I don't think they will. They beat Oklahoma State, which they probably won't do. And then they beat Baylor at the end of the season. They have a decent shot to beat Baylor. The committee will say they lost by 1 point to the second best team in the country with their backup quarterback, because Quinn Ewers didn't play the last three quarters of the game, right? So that's what they'll say. They will say that, okay, well, this team with a healthy Quinn Ewers should be in, because we can't take that against them, because we've seen that happen with Clemson. Clemson has lost before with a backup quarterback, still got in, because they're like, well, if they would have had their quarterback, they would have won that game. So we have to factor that in. And I believe that Alabama would have lost that game if Quinn Ewers would have been playing that whole game.
So Texas is eighth. Number nine, another Big Ten team. Penn State at 3-0 with a 15% chance. Ole Miss at 10 at 3-0, 13% chance. Tennessee, a big game today at home against Florida. Mm-hmm. They're 11th, 13% chance. And then we get to a Pac-12 school with a loss. That's Utah at 12. And then Washington is 13th in the playoff predictor at 3-0 with a 2% chance. So right now, there's your look at the college football playoff predictor on ESPN.com.
Just remember, you, Chris Bleck, fan of the USC Trojans.
Fight on.
Remember that when I started doing college football prep 2.5 months ago, that I said to you, welcome to the college football playoff because your schedule is as soft as a cupcake.
Well, tonight's going to be a tough test.
It will be.
I'm not trying to build it up and do one of those like sleeping deals on where I'm trying to be a possum and then really SC shows up and puts up 70 on Oregon State. Oregon State is a good football team.
Absolutely. Every sharpest sharp in the world is on Oregon State tonight.
I know.
Everyone.
It's a scary game, and unfortunately, here in the Midwest, Pac-12 network not always available for everyone, so this is going to be one of those that the GameCast is going to have to lead me through tonight.
I'll find you a stream.
You're going to find me a sneaky link? You're going to give me a little sneaky link
for
tonight?
Don't worry about it.
You're going to help me out?
Don't worry about it.
I'm sure I could find it, but I just know that Pac-12 network isn't readily available here in Chicago.
Chris, I would say watching us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago has its benefits.
Oh.
And that you might want to look around that Twitch app a little bit.
Oh, you're saying that there's going to be a sneaky link on the Twitch app tonight.
Maybe Twitch, maybe TikTok likes to put up links and stuff like that sometimes. I'm saying you can find it.
I'm a little nervous.
You can find it.
Late night beavers. A little nervous there. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
This is ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.